Hello and welcome to Rated R Cocktails. This is JFL and, of course, my buddy Dan.
How's it going, everybody?
Welcome to the first episode of the Rated R Cocktail podcast. If you heard the 11th hour shit show we did last week, you'll know that this is something that I've been wanting to do for a long time. It's not going to be perfect. We've drug our feet for a long time in my hopes to be able to make it perfect, but sometimes you learn more by doing. So bear with us. We're going to be learning by doing. In any case, I used to be on the radio for a two-year span. I was about an hour to two-hour long guest for a full year, and then I was a weekly spot doing drinks, really, really mostly terrible drinks, for the span of about 2 years. And they weren't all bad, but they were a lot of those drinks that you start making first when you're learning what you're doing. And so it was a valuable lesson. And of course, we got to meet all kinds of great people, people who still come up to us to this day and be like, well, you know, when are you going to get back on the radio? Well, when radio stations, you know, start letting me say fuck and make all the dirty jokes I wanted to make but couldn't. Also, when they're willing to pay me. I'm perfectly willing to sell out for a paycheck if anybody's got one ready.
Money's an important factor in how far you're willing to lose morals, I guess. Not necessarily lose morals, but how loose you're willing to be with what you'd want.
Yeah, you know, how much you're willing to act. You know, hey, it's your wacky drive time fun time. It's JFL. How about those Bama fans, folks? You think the Crimson Tide's gonna clinch it again? Which is really all you have to do in Alabama to be a, you know, host. Just do that and just hit the music button later. Maybe play a crank call.
You need wacky sound effects.
Yeah. We don't have any wacky sound effects. I haven't figured out how to do that. Next time, maybe I'll have sound effects. I don't know. I'll get a bell and a cow to slap or something. I don't know. So, something I wanted to cover, we went to San Antonio last time. That was where we last left off. You all heard that we were heading out Texas way. The drive is a lot longer than I thought it'd be. I mean, in your mind, you hear about 12 and a half hours, and you go, okay, well, yeah, that's a long drive. And then you drive it. And then it really is a long drive.
Especially it's when it seems like half of it is going through just one city.
Yeah, yeah, Houston. What are y'all doing? That it's huge. Like, I've been to New York. I think in terms of size, Houston is bigger than New York. I'm not really sure I could find my way around Houston.
Yeah. Like, I can't imagine in a day having to travel from one side of that place to another and back.
It's weird because I know the Anvil does a lot of cool stuff, and I really wanted to visit there, but I just had this sinking feeling that if we got off the road, we were never going to be able to find our way back, and plus, both times we traveled through there, they weren't open at the time. And for some reason, they don't do Tiki Tuesdays in winter, which, if you followed any of our coverage, I think's a crime. Definitely plenty of Tiki drinks that are very worthy in the winter. And, of course, Doug Winship over on Pegu Blog always does his Tiki stuff during the winter. And I couldn't agree more. You know, when it's cold and freezing everywhere, or in Texas when it's nice, wonderful weather. Yeah. Winter's the time you want to go to Texas. This is completely off topic. Wonderful weather the whole time. Definitely the time you want to go to Texas. Not balls hot or anything.
No, I think the coldest it got was probably, what, like, maybe 50?
T-shirt weather, at least for my fat ass, the whole time. But yeah, man, so we did get out there. And we were sleep-deprived, and then we drank our butts off. I tried to ditch him. He found his way home. It was a whole ordeal. But, you know, better luck next time. I'll have to... Next time we'll stay in Houston. And then I'll finally get rid of him once and for all.
Yeah, drunkenly walking from one side of Houston to the other is going to turn out a lot worse than that did.
I can imagine that didn't turn out very well. But, you know, the whole thing was great. The parties were wonderful. Houston has a lot of cool buildings. And I think the one we came into in the very first night was probably still my favorite. The Majestic Theater was extremely cool looking, especially like when you get out into that huge painted theater area.
Oh,
and there's the Starscape.
San Antonio.
Yeah, yeah.
You said Houston.
I said Houston. That's great. That's why, you know, first podcast, folks. That's what we're doing. But yeah, the Majestic in San Antonio, really beautiful building there. If you're in San Antonio, you definitely try to get tickets. Try to go see something, because I bet seeing an actual performance there would be awesome. I know walking around and drinking was pretty awesome. So, you know, seeing a show can't be that much worse. Probably my favorite part were the classes. I really enjoyed all of the classes that we were able to attend. The Rum Agricole class, definitely one of the ones I was most looking forward to, and it didn't disappoint. Some rum agricoles I hadn't got a chance to taste it. I hadn't really tasted a lot of white rum agricoles in the past.
Yeah. I really liked the honey class. I thought that was pretty cool. It was unusual in that it wasn't directly about liquor, but it still had a whole lot to do with liquor.
Yeah, we use a lot of honey syrup when we're testing drinks. They don't always make it into the final drink, but honey is a flavor that we really get into around here, so that was something I really wanted to check out. There was a lot of varietal honey tasting. The buckwheat honey, which was really awesome, and it almost kind of had a smoky, oaky mahogany. It didn't taste like you kind of imagine honey to taste.
It was sort of almost more savory.
Yeah, it really was, but it was cool. It reminded me of the time where I bought this really expensive thing of lavender honey because I wanted to try some different varietals, and that was the only one aside from orange blossom I could find. And it was like sweet soap in your mouth. It's I'm being punished, but it's okay. I'm not being punished that bad. Lavender honey, not something I think you'll see in Rated R Cocktails. I could be wrong. You never know. I could get... And that's why we have cat sound effects, ladies and gentlemen. If I get better with Audacity, you won't hear this at all. But yeah.
What was that other type of honey? The one that was made from, like, that marshland tree that was
Tupelo.
Really rare? Tupelo.
Super rare stuff. Super rare stuff. Apparently, like, that's becoming an endangered honey. So that was a neat class. It was put on by some local Texas distillers, and that was really cool. I did not know that there was a pretty decent amount of distilling going on in Texas. We even met some folks who are in the process of opening their own distillery, which is very cool. Of course, we're looking forward to seeing some more stuff from them. When they get some product, hopefully they'll send it to us, and maybe I'll see it. That would be very cool. We also met Ed Hamilton from Ministry of Rum. That was a very cool class at a very hangover day.
Yeah.
But really cool building. It was in this classic hotel that had these really old doors, very old school Havana vibe.
And it had the horned chairs.
Yeah, these chairs that were made out of horn. Apparently they were that some a few of them had broken, so they stopped putting them in the rooms. They just sort of put them out for people to see and enjoy. But they're really really cool chair, and the seminar was great too. Ed really gave a great lecture on the overproof rums in Jamaica and sort of how caramel coloring tends to affect rum. You know, I'm not too concerned when a rum company adds color to their rum, but it was interesting to see how it does change the flavor of the rums and the kind of caramel color that people use and what can go into it. We also had a great class by Dale DeGroff and Pisco Portone about their production. We got to taste some varietals, pure Piscos. I really liked the Moscato one, which is funny because I was a vendor for a long time and I hated Moscato because the worst part about Moscato was it was the cheapest thing you ever sold. You always sold armloads of it, and it was just very one-note and sweet. But what kind of set the Pisco Puro apart was all of these great floral aromatics, and it actually had a really deep flavor. Two of them are coming out to America either this year or next year. I think it's the Torontel and the Quebranta. Not the one that I was favoring, sadly enough, but who knows if these sell well. Maybe we'll get the others. The Torontel and the Quebranta were amazing, too, by the way. I think there's a lot of things that can be done with Pisco that maybe aren't. Yeah, that's, I guess, something that bloggers can jump onto. Something I hope to be looking into a little bit more is how to use good quality Pisco. There was all that battling for some time, and maybe there still is. It seemed like it was a bigger story a couple years ago of, it's Chile, it's Peru, it's Chile, it's Peru. Who's got the real Pisco? Well, this other Pisco is garbage. You can't trust it. You know, I don't know. Search out a quality product and use the one that you feel is the best. I think that's the advice I give for any product. Or just enjoy what you make. The hotel was cool. The hotel had Trader Vic Mai Tais, and the Coke machines took credit cards. And those were my two favorite parts of the hotel. I was so surprised when they took a credit card. I did not expect that.
I was just sad, though, that the Coke machines didn't really keep the Cokes, like, super cold.
Yes. Well, you can't always get what you want.
No, but
I know I couldn't get a Mai Tai at, you know, 11 a.m. when I really wanted one. Like, when I was already smashed drunk and getting back to the hotel, I was like, hey, just give me a Mai Tai. I had free drinks all day. But when we came back to the hotel where the pay drinks were, that That was what I wanted. Wanted that Mai Tai.
We sat at the bar, drunk as hell, sipping on some Mai Tais for a little bit.
Until my asthma decided, yeah, they're going to go to bed or I'm going to murder you. So, that was awesome. I escaped murder. Anytime you can escape asthma murder, it's great. The Riverwalk out there is really cool. They managed to get themselves a really awesome entertainment district, really cool scenery. There was a lot of nonstop boozing. There was a lot of not eating between classes. If you took a full class load like we did, and I wouldn't change it for the world, like I said, it was my favorite parts, but you don't eat. Our fat asses couldn't really wake up and get out in time, so we didn't really eat breakfast. And then we tried to cram some lunch in when we could, but chips. You go to SAC next year, make sure you sack up on chips. Because they might be your best friend. Get some protein bars, get some granola, stick it in your pocket, eat it on your way to your next class. That might be a bonus. And that might be the way for any cocktail event. Like I said, I wouldn't change it for the world. I enjoyed the classes immensely. And then, of course, we hit up New Orleans on the way back. Block, amazing. Sal was one hell of a dude. I love that Amontillado cobbler, really kind of nutty. And, you know, something I didn't think about, you know, that's a really old style of cocktail that I don't believe I've had that many cobblers before.
Yeah. All the ones we had there were good, which we had three or four different kinds.
Yeah, and then we went out to French 75.
Yeah.
And I managed to find a Three Dots and a Dash in New Orleans that held up pretty well. I enjoyed it. It's a really great room and very, very tasty nibbles we had out there. We had the cheese curls or something?
Those puff potato
right.
Things.
Yeah, they were like these little air pocket French fries of delight. I don't know how they do that, but that was amazing. Apparently, they can't do it every day. Apparently, some days the potatoes are just like, no, we're not doing it, and so they can't do it. The potatoes apparently get to choose. And then we went to Cane and Table, had a Boss Colada, had some of their house spiced rum, had some great J. Ray and Nephew in a couple different things. It was a really cool place to be. New Orleans does kind of look like the place where Jack the Ripper might come out and murder you, though. At least the French Quarter does. Like, there's all those cobblestone roads, and especially if you go at night, it does sort of look like a 16th century London murder set.
Well, I mean, especially with all the women looking like they're selling their wares on the street.
Their wares, huh?
Yeah.
Their underwears, maybe.
I'm just saying. You know.
But they've got very experienced panhandlers. Luckily, you know, my cheapness, you know, was stronger than their sob stories. Because they'd say, hey, man, how you doing? I'd say, I'm doing super, and just keep walking. It's the best thing to do to a bum. Just when they start off with that friendly routine, see if you can't just keep walking. Sometimes traffic will betray you. And that's when you just go around the block and try again. If you're really committed to avoiding hobo. So, cocktail ideas that we took away from the event. One of the things I really wanted to do more was definitely try to use more rum agri. We did the Sol Volcanique recently. That, I guess, was sort of sprung off of our experience with the rum agricole class. I've tried to find a few more uses for honey in my cocktails, and I think I'm just going to need to step up my game on the quality of honey I'm buying, because the cheapo stuff that I've been enjoying using because my wallet's been loving it might not be the most effective use of my cocktail time.
No, well, according to the guys in the honey class, you know, we should probably be crucified for using that stuff so much.
Well, yeah, but at least, you know, it's made in America, because apparently if you get some honey from China, it could very well kill you, your whole family. It's apparently some pretty terrible stuff. I know I'm using a little bit of hyperbole, but legitimately, apparently the Chinese make honey with pure evil.
Well, and the problem is that they also ship it to other places that process it, and then it says it's from there.
Right. So, I mean, what anything you took away from that? Any kind of little tidbits that you're holding back there in your mind for when you have that weird savant moment a couple times a year where you make a drink that just blows me away?
Well, I really like the rum agricole. Like, I don't think I ever really got a taste of it by itself.
Well, nobody sells it in Alabama. It's literally, it's not on the shelves anywhere. I guess you can get it by wholesale, but it's not certainly not on the shelves.
But that was really good. That was cool. The scotch and tequila class we had, I mean, it didn't teach me a whole lot, but it was fun.
It was fun. That was a good presentation, and the guys had a lot of fun with it. And it was a really good-looking bar, too.
Yeah.
I will say, the scotch margarita, while it was an interesting concept, probably not one I'm going to go back to. I do enjoy scotch in tiki cocktails. I like a nice starboard light, and I enjoy a nice London sour. But I like a peated scotch in cocktails, and I guess you're seeing less and less peated scotch nowadays, but I just love that smoke. I love a giant mouthful of smoke, and I guess that's not appetizing to everyone.
I'm with you there, though. I really do like the peated scotches more than the unpeated.
But it was also cool to taste some tequila. I wish we'd gotten a little bit more mezcal there, you know. We're in San Antonio. I was really hoping at some point to hit up some more of that great smoky mezcal agave flavor.
Yeah.
That didn't quite come around. Maybe something for next time to enjoy. Definitely there probably were classes on it. We were, of course, being rum focused like we usually are. San Antonio kicks some major ass, but when we get back, we're going to talk about cocktail contests, drinking while you're sick, and a little bit of springtime drinking. Don't you go anywhere. We'll be back after this. Sure do love some surf rock. You know what else I love? Not getting sued. You know, that was one of the big things I was thinking about when it came to podcasting. What do I have to do to not get my fat ass sued, but still offer some tasty tunes for my listeners? Because what's a bumper without music? Well, we'd like to thank Mevio's Music Alley for providing some great music for us today. Save yourself all the Googling that I went through, and just go to music.mevio.com. We got some great surf rock from bands called the BC Surfers, Beware the Dangers of a Ghost Scorpion, and the Mad Titans, and there's a whole bunch more over there. Hell, there's classical, there's rap, there's pretty much anything that you're looking for. A big selection from bands who want the playtime, and we're happy to give it to them. So go over there and check them out, and you get podcasting. And don't forget to check out our show notes, where we'll link you up so that you can check them out and buy some of these great tracks that we're playing you. Rated R Cocktails is largely brought to you by My Empty Wallet. So would you like your bar, cause, or product mentioned on Rated R Cocktails? Bums like me are always in need of sponsors. So reach out anytime through our contact form on RatedRCocktails.com or email us, RatedRCocktails@gmail.com. We'll be more than happy to set something up for you, and I'm sure we can come to an agreement that makes us both happy. Just write out a statement. And I'll read it, even if it's calling myself Mary Poppins in a pretty pink dress. If the check clears, I'll probably say it, unless it's something just disgusting and too offensive even for me to say. So what are you waiting for? Hop on that email. Get that checkbook out. It can't be that expensive, or can it? And now, back to the show. Overview of some of the things that have kept us a little bit busier around the year beginning than we tend to normally be. Some of the content, unfortunately, has been a little slower than even I like to. You know, January we were really ramping up to go on the trip, and that takes a little bit of time. You know, then coming back and catching up on everything that inevitably happens when you leave a house. Moving right into the cocktail contest that happened pretty much. So that was weird. That was my first time competing. I didn't really know what to expect. It's a little bit nerve-wracking. Like, you don't think you're going to be nervous. I'm very used to talking to people. It's not that big of a deal. And that wasn't a big of a deal, but my hand just betrayed me. Like, my hand decided it was going to flip the fuck out and shake the entire time. Like, I didn't need to shake the cocktail because I shook each ingredient individually before it went in the shaker. That's how that was working. Like, everybody could have just handed me their cocktails and I would have shaken it, apparently. But the drink came out good. We really liked it. It was very popular with all the people who came over to taste it afterwards. The win went to a good friend who made a spin on an old-fashioned, because the judges, I guess, were looking to have a big mouthful of that great whiskey flavor. But we were thankful to Clyde Mays for putting it on, and definitely thankful to be able to compete. Lots of good judges there, people who I was definitely pleased to compete with as well, fellow USBG members, who we'd also like to thank not only for this podcast and for the great yet past year of being in the Birmingham USBG, but also for helping us make it down to San Antonio, and fellow members and friends who donated to us as well. We do want to give big shout-outs to them. But I think the biggest problem over the past month and cocktail contest was making cocktails, drinking while being sick. And you like to drink when you're sick?
It's kind of a hard question because, I mean, I like to drink pretty much all the time.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm there with you, but
It's not as enjoyable when you're sick.
I think
because
when I'm
you
sick,
can't take in all the different aspects of it.
That's the one time I really don't want to drink. And it's weird to run a cocktail website while you're sick. Especially because you don't have health insurance, because you don't get better right away. You just sort of, like, slowly get better. I'm really prone to sinus infections. So I'm trying to smell a drink. It's not working out. I'm very glad you were here for the past month, because otherwise I'd have been out on the street and be like, "Hey man, smell this! Does it smell like lilacs to you? You picking up any rose or oak notes on this? Come on, buddy, smell it! Just smell the smell the goddamn cocktail!"
Because, you know, that's not going to end with you in jail or nothing.
No. You know, maybe the cop would come by. Maybe he'd be willing to smell it. Maybe he wouldn't be a dick. He's a public servant. And I'm sure that he loved me saying that as he was dragging me to jail. So, I mean, it's really weird kind of thing to do. Finally, thankfully, getting over that, I say, as I'm trying not to sneeze into a microphone right now. So, yeah, very, very convincing. I'm unable to convince me, but I really am feeling a lot better. Another thing I'm feeling a lot better about, Dan's moving out next month. I'm actually heartbroken over it. He's dead. We're never going to see him again. No, he'll still be here. Just, I'll have to stock up on sodas and beer, and then he'll just magically appear.
Hey, I smell things. I'm gonna take them now.
I smell food. Hey, y'all got food? I likes food. But no, I mean, it was awesome having him for the past year. Dan does sort of look like he's going to murder you in the woods in the rain with a hatchet. He probably won't. I mean, I don't think he would. Other people are pretty convinced of it. My mother, the first time she met you, I got a call 5 minutes after she left the house asking me if I was okay, if I needed help, because she thought you were a murderer.
Yeah, I remember.
I can't believe, I'm glad that she waited 5 minutes. and she's like, "Oh, well, I really didn't think that. I was just, you know, I was just double checking. I don't know." I mean, I guess I can see where she's coming from. I know you better than that, but I guess you do have that kind of look, which is why you should never buy a rain slicker.
Oh, come on, but I totally know what you did last summer.
You'd be extra creepy in a rain slicker. That's not a good look for you, bro.
Look like the Gordon's fisherman if he had mental instability.
But Dan has a really great palette. He's been a great asset to the website over the past years. You know, he created the Drunken Sailor, which I'm a huge fan of. It was one of the first cocktails we actually put on the website when the website started becoming our thing versus the radio. And he also, later that year, gave us the Death at Sea. Big, grapefruity, salty, unbelievably boozy concoction that is delicious. And most recently, Mystic Potion, which was weird, and it has the unknowing side effect of making you move your hips. Like, even if you're the whitest dude on the planet, and you never dance with your hips, like, take a sip. All of a sudden, it's that creme de Yvette, it gets you. It, It hops in your hips and it wiggles around and it just swirls all the way down. It's a very interesting cocktail. And that was made off of what book were you reading?
Oh, I was Dresden Files at the time. And it was the method by which they create potions. You need a base liquid and then one for each of the five senses, and then one for the mind, and then one for the soul. So
that's
like eight total.
That's the book where Harry Potter throws the ring into the Death Star, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Nerd! I know. I'm equally as guilty. I'm basically illiterate, so I make fun to hide my inner pain. I can't read fiction. I don't know why. Like, I guess in my mind, every fiction should lead to porn, but they don't. And it's actually, they're not supposed to.
Most.
I had this really weird crossed up thing. It's like, two characters walk into a detective office, and they have a serious problem. They're gonna fix it by getting naked. No, they aren't. They actually have a serious problem, and that's not going to help anything. And if they do get naked, it's probably gonna be resolved, you know, not in the written word. Unless it's one of those dime store novel books. And they get into it with really weird adjectives. If you ever want to see some really creative and odd use of adjectives, pick up one of those grocery store romance novels, and you actually will save a lot of food money because you won't be able to eat that well. But Dan's a great taster. He's willing to let me wake him up, shove drinks in his face, taste this, sip that, and he'll say, yeah, I like that. And I'll tell him it's terrible, and he's terrible, and how dare you like that? That's the shittiest thing I've ever made. I bitch a lot. I bitch an incredible amount, and he just sits here and listens to it. Like, most people don't do that. I know I don't, you know, he doesn't pay me any rent, and I don't pay him any money. I guess, you know, between free food and bitching, it just all equals each other out. I know there's been a lot of them, and I know sometimes I rename them after you've tasted them. But anything stand out to you over the last year that might have been a personal favorite?
Well, the ones that I want to say come to mind the most are the series of planner's punches you did, like the sampan punch and the sunken sampan, and then the vanilla stuff, like the I2I and the Haunted Hut.
Yeah. The Haunted Hut, it was in the same time period, but that was that Campari daiquiri. Well, that's a good daiquiri, though, because that wins over people who don't like Campari. That's one of those interesting drinks where people who normally make the ooh bitter Campari face, I can actually sort of get them with. But the I2I, definitely one of my favorite drinks. Both of those cocktails get no love on the website. I love them. I think they're awesome.
What was the other one that had the big vanilla thing to it? Because it was one of the Dark Isles series of things.
Yeah, it was the one from last year, Back to the Dark Isles. It was the Geisha Ghoul.
That's what it was.
Yeah, that was the one we did with the New Orleans rum. It was actually made a year before I put it out, but I just kept it back. It was too good. I wanted to release it in Halloween because I always try to knock it out of the box with Halloween. I my favorite holiday. The interesting thing about the sampan punch, I was not happy with the initial iteration. A lot of my tasters like more sour things than I do, and I just had to include it. So I did what any good tiki fan does when they need to make a drink different than the other one. I turned it blue. And I gave it a different adjective. Trader Vic would be proud. I'm making my way right now through Jeff Barry's Potions of the Caribbean, which is really worth your time, really worth your money. I wish we were getting paid for this advertisement, but it's okay because it's a great and wonderful, worthwhile book. And the stories about Trader Vic will really blow you away. I and a lot of other tiki fans are fans of Don Beach, most deservingly because he did start it all up. But Trader Vic is not just some thief or hack. I mean, he did borrow a lot of things, but he wasn't like a lot of people back in the day who just poached bartenders. He was actually more than happy to go do his own research in the Caribbean, come up with recipes, modify things he saw, make it to suit his own taste. And really, when it comes to tiki, he had a style all of his own that involved some things that, like they say in the book, Don Beach would have, you know, never used, like orgeats and lemon, and he used a lot of other liquors. It wasn't just all rum with him, you know, gin, brandy, Scotch, all of those made their way into Trader Vic cocktails, even, you know, some fortified wines. I did enjoy the Planter's Punches. Those were probably some of my very favorites. I really loved the Shipwreck, the Pina Colada Drunken Sailor Marriage.
Yeah, that one was good.
Heaven. I also really liked the Phantom of the Luau. I liked that drink way too much, in fact. I drank 10 in a day. And then I watched the old hokey 1943 Phantom of the Opera, and I cried. Like, the one with no music, it's not emotionally moving at all. Well, maybe in parts, because the gentleman who acted, I think, was that Claude Rains? I think it was Claude Rains. But either way, very moving performance, and it was extremely entertaining. Unfortunately, if you drink 10 Phantom of the Luau's, I guess it makes you cry. I guess mostly anything at that point would have made me cry. Like, I could have gotten a fat $500 check. I probably would have bawled my eyes out then, too. But those were great. Definitely, I think we stepped our game up in a huge amount with the Planter's Punch series. Oddly enough, last year, one of our biggest drinks, I didn't expect this to happen, the PBR in Paradise post I did, Hipsters in Hanalei, I like to call the drink now, as I think that's a better name than what we were doing. Initially, the Hipsters Hiccup. You can call it either one. If I was to write a menu nowadays, I'd call it the Hipsters in Hanalei. It's a good drink.
It really is a good one. I like that one.
But
from the get-go.
I thought that I was going to get crucified in the Twitter sphere for putting PBR on a craft cocktail-ish website. You know, we're mostly a tiki blog, but come on, PBR does not have that great a reputation. I think for the price point, it can't be beat. As for tiki beer cocktails, it's something I hadn't heard a lot of, and classically, the only one I know that's appeared historically was the Strip and Go Naked in Jeff Berry Remixed. So cocktail plans for next month. What do you like to drink in the springtime, Dan?
Mostly similar stuff to what I like to drink all the time.
No seasonal changes with you?
I mean, I guess as far as beer goes, you tend to get more crisp, lighter, almost lemony fare, but I mean, I don't guess I really changed my drinking habits that much seasonally, except for as opposed to what becomes available and what becomes out of season.
I think I could probably see drinking more wheat beers during the springtime. It'd be the right kind of wheat beers, but I could definitely see some hefes coming into play. Now, St. Patrick's Day, what do you want to drink?
On St. Patrick's Day, it's usually car bombs and Irish whiskey. Because
yeah.
I avoid drinking Bud Light that's just been dyed green. I'm sorry, that's cheap and it's awful.
And
you should stop it because it's not Irish.
Could turn your poop green, too. Could have Irish poops. Probably not. I don't think Irish people poop green.
Well, I mean, seeing as how I'm already like a quarter Irish, I think my poop is Irish enough.
That's right, Rated R Cocktails, where we make poop jokes. I guess. If you're still listening, green cocktails are something you have to have for St. Patrick's Day. I know there's this whole thing where, you know, you don't want to use dyes. I don't want to use dyes. I don't want to just put food coloring in something, I guess. More okay with using a dyed liqueur. Of course, you know, we use Curacao, and that'll turn about anything, any color that the Curacao is.
Yes.
We like to use the nice ones, though. I do spring for Senor Curacao, is because it does have amazing flavor. They make a green one, which I'd really love to be able to find in time. I doubt I'm going to be able to make that happen. I don't think I'm going to be able to get my hands on the green Senor.
I did not know that, but that's awesome.
So, you're probably going to see a Midori cocktail from us next month. You're probably going to see a little Midori sneak its way into a cocktail next month, and I'm curious to see what people are going to think about that. I wasn't going to do something like that, but we went to Trader Vic's Atlanta, and I looked at the bartender, really nice guy, and I said, you know, I've had so many things here, but I keep trying to want to, I want different stuff, because I want to try the whole thing, but I can't remember what I have had and I haven't had. Now, there was one drink I know I hadn't had. I hadn't had the Spring Fever, because it had Midori in it. I was cocktail snobbing out. And I said, I'm not going to drink that. Even though I have a half bottle of Midori in my bar that's been there for 2 years, I said, I'm not going to drink that. You know, this is Trader Vic's. I want to go for some of the more established stuff. But that's one of the ones he recommended. I was kind of taken aback by it. He said, try it with 151. And I sweet-talked him into finding the Lemon Heart 151 and making it that way. And man, that was a good cocktail. Midori can be good so long as you don't let it be the star. You really can't. It can be it's a walk-on at best. You need Midori to make it green and to add almost like a little hint that you might use triple sec for, I guess, in, say, a margarita. You know, triple sec's not going to be the dominant flavor, but it's going to add those little orange notes in the background. Midori's going to add those fake melon candy notes. It's not a realistic flavor. No melon actually tastes like that. It tastes vaguely of melon. It tastes mostly like sweet melon candy.
I was thinking it pretty much tastes like somebody took a big pot of honeydew and then boiled it down into sort of a concentrate.
Maybe, kind of. I can kind of see that. Maybe like dried candied cantaloupe in some respects. I don't hate it. I hate it the way most people use it, but that Trader Vic's experience turned me around on it. So you're probably going to see a Midori tequila drink. There's got to be some Irish whiskey drink. There's our Haggerty's Drought, and I love that. And you should definitely check it out on RatedRCocktails.com and make that part of your holiday experience because it's delicious. But there's going to be a new Irish whiskey drink, something Irish most definitely. And then my three favorite flavors of spring, coconut, gin, and pineapple. Of course, we're going to need some citrus to smooth that out along the way, but do expect to see things in various regards with those ingredients. There might just be an entire coconut month. In fact, I might make a coconut theme month.
I love coconuts.
So wait on it. Like we might actually, if I can afford a machete, I got a buddy who might let me borrow his. If I can borrow that machete, then we'll do a drink in a whole coconut like I've been wanting to do forever. Like a young green coconut, that would be awesome and something that's been on the to-do list for way too long. Is there any project you'd like to see tackled, or did I just like blow your mind with coconut?
Well, I mean, I love coconuts, and I'm never one to really plan ahead for this kind of stuff, but now you've kind of got me thinking about coconut, so.
See, coconut is lovely, and coconut you do not see used enough in cocktails, I'm convinced. And I think Malibu did a lot of that. I remember before I had really learned anything about liquor, I thought Malibu was great. Why did I think Malibu was great? It was on TV. All these other cheap-ass people weren't on TV. And so I don't know. I guess if that's what you make your liquor decisions off of, then you can get past the fact that it tastes like suntan oil. I guess there are some people out there who never went to the beach and had their mom, like, rubbing suntan oil in their face and accidentally, like, she gets her finger on your lips and you get that weird flavor in your mouth. It does. It really does taste like suntan oil rubbed in my face when I was a little kid. That weird flashback of just, like, nail polish and suntan oil right across the mouth. It's definitely not a natural coconut flavor.
No.
Which is why I was so pleased to get that Kahlua coconut rum in the mail.
That stuff is freaking good.
I don't know what people thought of the reviews we did. We're not really a review site, but we really received some fun stuff, and at the height of it were, I think, those two Kahlua rums, the dark and the coconut. The white and the gold were good, but the dark and the coconut were really far and away pretty amazing. Anua Kenna did a great piece on the coconut rum, but I wasn't really prepared for the awesomeness. It tastes like a young, meaty, green coconut. It's really good. And so do expect to see some of that too. Try to get your hands on a bottle. It's not cheap, but it's worth the seeking because they are a small distillery. They are like a plantation. They're very centralized in where they are, and that's really kind of like a family affair over there. So they aren't just jacking up the price on you. I imagine it's a pretty fair margin for them. And they're not paying us either, but we do thank them for the free samples. If you would like to pay us, see the commercials. You can rewind it. Go ahead. I'll wait. Are you back? Well, great. Well, we've had a great time talking to you. Of course, Dan's never going to be seen again. He's going to die. Or he'll be back next month.
One of the two.
Yeah. I'm betting it's the latter. Until then, you get hammered, America.